Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the programme, Jan Holger Fjortoff is here, as is Stevie Nicol, as we kick things off by saluting Manchester City, who are once again champions of England. They didn't even have to kick a ball today. Manchester United losing at home against Leicester City means it is mathematically impossible for Solskjaer's side to catch their City rivals at the top of the table. This would be then Manchester City's seventh top flight win, their fifth in the Premier League era. Still a lot of Manchester United, but in the end, Craig, obviously thoroughly deserved.
Yeah, and, you know, to come back from the couple of seasons that they had where they were neck and neck with Liverpool and successful, and then they got a lesson last year from Liverpool, who won at a canter at the end. It was over by, I don't know, probably February or thereabouts. And to come back from that, and we thought Liverpool were going to be the big chasers again this year, but the injuries have just absolutely derailed anything they were going to do, and we're going to talk about them potentially not getting in the top four, was to come back from that and lick your wounds and readdress the problems, particularly at the back, and they've done that amazingly with Ruben Dias and others. João Cancelo has been fantastic. Zinchenko's done well when he's come in. John Stones, we've seen a resurgence in his career and his fitness and his form, apart from the odd wobble. Gundogan, magnificent in the midfield. And all this done really pretty much most of the season without a natural striker. And I don't think there's many other clubs around Europe, never mind in England, that could have that success playing in that manner.
It's interesting, Stevie, because they started the season badly. If you go back to, say, November and you look at the table, they're not even in the top 10 after eight matches. In fact, they're residing in 13th. They'd only got 12 points from those opening eight matches. But then they went on that incredible winning run, didn't they? What changed?
Well, I think it's two things. Number one, the most important one is Ruben Dias. Him coming in and solidifying a partnership with John Stones was absolutely huge. You know, Liverpool's success was built from the back, and I think this year's success for Manchester City was built from the back. And that's not something that we used to say about Pep. We used to criticise that he didn't think enough about the defensive side of the game. He just wanted to score more goals than everybody else, regardless. Well, he changed it. Along with Dias, along with Pep, just changing, I think, the philosophy of certainly two sitting midfielders not really getting past the front line too often. And that meant that teams couldn't get out. Great combination. And then, of course, they started scoring goals. So, listen, you don't lose goals. It only takes one chance up the other end. And in the odd occasion that they needed that, City got it.
Jan, how has Pep evolved regarding his coaching style from a team, well, from when he had so much success at Bayern and his early days at City? As Stevie says, you do feel there has been a shift.
Yeah, you do. And it was interesting when you took up the table, Dan, because you saw that. And I think that what you've seen from November and out, or maybe a bit before as well, there was a way he changed a bit his way of playing. Not that every attack you have to stay up, you have to go for every counter-attack, going a bit back, and as the boys are saying, defense major there. And Guardiola took some time to kind of understand that at Manchester City, that he has to do the same. Remember back in the Barcelona days, we were always talking about Iniesta, Xavi, Messi, but he also had a Puyol back there who kind of clean things out in that thing. And it's also, I'm not taking anything away from Manchester City, but with Liverpool being much, much weaker, Chelsea coming late and with Tuchel coming on, made it a bit easier, but can't take away anything from them. Not only have they quality player, they have also the quantity. And you've seen some of the games when other teams, we saw Manchester United today, when they rotate, you see what kind of team they're sending out. When Manchester City is sending out a team, you just feel that team could be top four in England as well. So it's quality all over the place. And I think what you started with, Dan, that Pep has also seen that, Shall I take this team to a Champions League trophy? I have to do something with the way I'm thinking. I can't be, I'm not saying romantic, but I can't just only use my Pep style. And I think that is a compliment to any coach, that you can adjust, that you can develop.
There was, I wish Don Hutchinson was on today. Don, back in November, I think it was, when we were arguing and debating, and Don said,
yes, yeah.
But where's City going to put a run together from Craig? And I said, what do you mean? When Man United were top of the league and it was one of, I'm not mentioning names, there was people coming on trying to tell me the Man United...
You just mentioned Don.
Well, not just Don, there were others who... it wasn't Don who mentioned this. There were other people come on and said, you know, Man United, you know, some of these wouldn't get in the Man City. You know, Man City players wouldn't get... What? Utter nonsense. You know, we didn't know they were going to put that kind of run together, but we knew they were going to put some sort of run together. They were just too good not to. Yeah. I mean, clearly Liverpool haven't and not been able to because of their defensive issues. But City were always going to put a run together. They were always still going to be... Once Liverpool got the injuries, they were going to be the team to beat.
Yeah.
That was clear. And it was a bad start to the season, but what a turnaround. And... You know, I think, you know, the emergency Foden as well in there. Mahrez's form started to get better. You know, we saw Bernardo Silva on the bench on numerous occasions, not getting game time, and there was others. We even saw Sterling losing form.
Yeah, Gundogan is their top Premier League scorer.
Gundogan was brilliant. But, you know, we saw Raheem Sterling, who was one of the first in the team sheet and one of the first in the English team sheet, lose a lot of form, probably from sort of Christmas onwards, and yet they just took him out at times and put others in. That's what Jan was saying. The difference with the quality of player coming in was just too much for the rest.
And Jan, the striker is dead.
Yeah,
but the funny thing is that around Europe, and we talk a lot about German football, there have been a number nine revolution. They are coming back now with Lewandowski, Silva, Weghorst, and the rest of them, and Haaland, of course. They have coming back. So I think that Pep Guardiola, to take them to the next step now, he will also look for a number nine. But I think it's interesting what Craig is saying, because I remember those discussions. I also remember where we talked about a team. When you compare it with Manchester United, who is now the second team, I must say that they have improved the way of playing. You can see more that they have a way of playing. But Pep Guardiola, you always know what to get. You know that they will keep on playing, they will keep on doing what they're doing, and then the wins and the points will be a consequence of that way of playing. And I think that is coming into the next season. I mean, shall anybody go for that and go and challenge them for next season? They have to have a clear play, and we have discussed that a lot, haven't we, Craig?
Meanwhile, City, of course, champions after Manchester United losing today. They made 10 changes to the side that won at the weekend. Of course, they're playing Liverpool in 48 hours' time. Stevie, do you have a problem with these changes?
No, not at all. Not at all. All he said, his players were tired, so he made the changes. And I'm not surprised. And actually, I thought Leicester did well to win the game, because in the first half, they looked completely jaded. They looked as though they didn't have any legs. I mean, you've got... When you see the team sheet, and you've got Juan Mata and help me out here, in the middle of the park.
Matic.
You're thinking to yourself, wow.
Roy Keane.
You're thinking... And Didi and Tielemans are going to run riot here. They're going to run all over these two. Well, they couldn't. They just didn't have the legs. And it was a horrible performance from Leicester. But guess what? It really doesn't matter. They were playing against the reserve side. They should have beaten this reserve side. They did beat this reserve side. It was horrible. But guess what? It doesn't matter. They won the game, and that's all that counts now.
I think he was right to make those changes. And I think, you know... there is a game in 48 hours. The fixture list has been piling up for Man United. It's not going to make a big difference unless he rests players with playing in these games. He's got a Europa League final. Mm. Top four is a guarantee. No point. What's the carrot here for them? Give your players a rest, your key players. You're playing Liverpool in 2 days. Not only is that a huge game, as Stevie knows better than anybody, between two of the biggest rivals in English football, but he can pretty much derail completely Liverpool's hope of getting in the top four by beating them, because they still have an outside chance with the two games in hand. But what I will tell you, if you didn't already know by watching Man United, is that some of these squad players are not going to cut the mustard in terms of, you know, closing the gap between United and City and Liverpool. I mean, Donny van de Beek hasn't had much game time, I'll grant you that, but he looks out his depth at that particular level. Matic, the legs have gone, and there are others. So, you know, that's the difference between the teams winning the league and the teams that are ultra runs.
This is obviously a result that West Ham or Liverpool didn't want. It all, but you take a look at the remaining fixtures for all of these sides. Yes, Leicester have got a couple of tough games, haven't they, in their running. Obviously, Liverpool and West Ham still with games in hand. Leicester still to play Chelsea and Spurs. But overall, Jan, is it done, do you think, Leicester and Chelsea in the Champions League next season?
I don't think it's done, but if you looked for a weakness, you looked for Leicester City to lose it, you just got a feeling that Chelsea, they will get the necessary points. They are good in grabbing points and wins. And for Liverpool, this was a terrible result. And of course, it's also a paradox that this fixture is piling up because of that demonstration at the Manchester United-Liverpool game. And there is a lot of consequences of what happened there. But I think that every manager and I see someone wants to do a point out of that Manchester United didn't field their best players. But I think for Ole, he's safe, his Champions League place is safe, and he got to see now that he's ready for a final. I mean, after the season, nobody will ask him what team he brought out against Leicester. It's all about winning that trophy for him.
Stevie, how would you rate Liverpool's chances now of qualifying for the top four?
Still be a miracle.
Really?
They'd have to do something. They have to do something they haven't done all season. That's win four Premier League games in a row.
Right.
The best they've done is three right at the start of the season. But they haven't done four all season. So all of a sudden, they're going to turn around and win four straight Premier League games. And they still have to rely on Leicester not picking up any points as well. So, listen, I would be absolutely shocked if Liverpool pipped Leicester. And West Ham, they've got a slightly better chance, but they're going to have to win three in the trot as well. And if you saw them against Everton, you would have thought they'd forgotten where the goal was. I mean, they never created anything or even looked like it. So for either of these two teams to win out, I don't see it happening. Listen, Everton, I think, on the same boat. If Everton win out and things go for them, they could still sneak in. But again, I don't see them doing it either. So I think Leicester are safe after this win.
Wednesday is all about Chelsea against Arsenal. Then just a reminder, extra time as always available on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Was this the day Barcelona blew the title race 2-0 up against Levante? In the end, it finishes 3-3, meaning with two games remaining, they are 1 point adrift of Atleti. Atleti, though, with a game in hand. For a lot more on this, Jules and Ali with us. Ali, let's start with that statement. Is this the day that Barca blew the title?
No. The day that they blew the title was against Granada. This was only confirmation that they blew the title. If you were hanging on to Barcelona and thinking that this team was going to run the table, well, you would have been wrong, and I would have been right there with you. I thought that Barcelona, once they had the opportunity to get a hold of first place, that this team would take over and you would see the very best from Barcelona. Instead, what you see is the very worst. The drop-off between the best of Barcelona in a game and the worst of Barcelona in the same game is so significant, it's so steep. The difference between the highs and lows is so significant that you see a team that can control a game with some ease and comfort and creating opportunities, missing chances, could have been 3, could have been 4, nothing in the first half today against Levante. Second half comes around and it's an entirely different team. Sloppy, turning the ball over in bad areas, including Lionel Messi turning the ball in a bad area. Gerard Piqué cannot defend. Sergio Roberto cannot defend. Sergio Busquets cannot get close to the ball. And you just see a team that loses structure, organization, balance. Everything that they did well in the first half, it just disappears. And I mean, it disappears. You cannot find it. You see this team desperate to try to hang on to the game, and they simply can't.
You look at this team on paper, Jules. This team should be good enough to beat a Levante side that had nothing to play for going into this tie. But yet again, they can't get over the line. Of course, they would have been top if they won today. But have they thrown it all away now?
Yes, definitely. And I think this is a team that should be doing much better, should be playing much better football consistently, not just by little patches like we saw in the first half, but over the whole 90 minutes. You can't always play at your best over 90 minutes, but you can certainly control the game much better consistency and consistently, which they don't do. This is a very similar game to the Granada game where they take the lead and maybe they take it for granted that they were going to win at halftime. Maybe they thought, you know what, in the second half, let's just pass the ball around, don't do any effort, don't try to create too much, and we'll be fine. Well, guess what? You're not. This is not enough. Even against a team like Levante, who have Ecamante Morales up front, who is a wonderful player, who is a team that actually thought, you know what? We can get something here. Let's go for it. Let's play. And they played. And they played so much better than Barcelona in the second half. I think it's a disgraceful performance from Barcelona, especially in that second half.
Of course, we're now in a situation, Ali, where Atleti could stretch their lead at the top of the table in action against Real Sociedad on Wednesday. Are we now saying that they are the clear favorite?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Then again, I've been wrong about this, but I am very safe, feel very comfortable telling you that Barcelona is out of this. Because worst of all today, what you saw was a team that just kind of realized, you know what, it feels like it's over. It's kind of over. So it is over. And when it was there was a point in which maybe you try to really showcase that intensity, that willingness to fight because there is something to fight for, it wasn't there. And so Barcelona, they're gone. And now Atletico Madrid, they only have to worry about themselves. They don't even have to worry about Real Madrid. They have to worry about themselves. They win what they have in front of them. Atletico Madrid should win this thing. However, of course, we have all been very wrong this whole season. As for Barcelona, we're not wrong anymore. Today was embarrassing, and it was yet another performance like Granada, another unacceptable performance from Barcelona when you needed it the most.
Ronald Koeman gone at the end of the season, Jules?
100%. There is no way that Ronald Koeman can stay. I mean, we praised him when he was right to, when he changed the system and that worked for a little bit. But we also said with Ali from the beginning, this is not always going to work. You can not always play a 3-5-2 formation against every single team in this league because some will work out how to play against you because you still need to improve in a lot of areas, even with a back three. I mean, today, what was he thinking at halftime, bringing Sergio Roberto on? I mean, I'm not even sure Sergio Roberto should play for this team anymore anyway, and regardless of who the manager is. But to bring him on like this as a centre-back instead of Araujo and play what, hybrid back four, hybrid back three, that no one really understood what to do, and then you take him off in the 85th minute because you realise what a mistake you made because this is not his position in the first place anyway, I thought was just crazy. And yesterday Koeman said, I signed a 2-year deal, so I'll be there next season. No, you won't be there next season.
I love emotional Jules. It's what it's all about. Jules and Ali, thank you very much. Of course, a lot more from Jules on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available on Thursday. By that time, of course, Atleti will have played Real Sociedad. What a huge game that will be for Simeone's side.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Just one game in Italy today, but a very significant one regarding the race for the top four. Napoli thrashing Udinese by 5-1. That puts them second for now, but more importantly, 4 points clear of Juventus in fifth. Mina Rizzucchi joins us to reflect on that victory for Napoli. Exactly the result that the likes of Atalanta, Milan and Juventus didn't want, Mina.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly the kind of result that at the start of the season, I don't think any of the cast of Serie A would have predicted as well. Some of us thought that Napoli wasn't going to make it in the top four. And the way that they started the season, you saw the same type of problems for Napoli. But now we're seeing the true beauty of their game, how involved Osimhen is and what a great outlet he is for that pass, how the partnership has formed with him and Zielinski, the power and magic of Insigne. And it just seems like when they do have that confidence and they are able to really impose their game on an opponent, one that does fall apart the way that Udinese did today, then you can see the real magic of their play, and they continue to press on that accelerator seeking goals. And of course, goal difference could make a difference if they are... if they have similar points, it is head-to-head. But if they are similar in head-to-head, then it does go down to goal difference. And right now, Napoli is looking rather majestic and they have two easy games left. So I would say it's an easy top four for them.
All eyes then on Juventus against Sassuolo on Wednesday. Mina, it's the first time we've had to have a proper conversation after Milan tore them apart at the weekend. This is such a significant match, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Having said all of that, there is something about Sassuolo that never gives me that much confidence. But the way that Juventus is playing now, I would tell you that I could probably beat them. So not sure about that. This is going to be hugely significant. You can at least say that they'll be angry. Now, what we want to see is that Pirlo has understood the mistakes that he made against Milan. And I think that there was a particular change in which he took off Bentancur, replaced him with Kulusevski, that showed that he doesn't really understand the tactics and balance of a game. What he has all the time is just a bunch of guys who think really on just how to score a goal. Federico Chiesa, they're individuals. Ronaldo, individual. Morata, they're not players that can play as part of a united front line, that know how to give and go, that have the majesty of play that we saw today from Napoli as an example, or even how Inter play with Brozovic and Eriksen. That ability to give and go, they just don't have. And to take off a midfielder and add just another one of these guys was just devastating for Juventus against Milan. So it remains to be seen whether he will bring in the likes of Dybala or Arthur, or just somebody who understands how to possess the ball and perhaps spread a pass or try to open the forward line. Just it's very saddening to see how much Pirlo doesn't seem to get it and how much Juventus have collapsed really in the second half of the season.
No matter what happens now, between now and even if Juve qualify for the top four, he's gone, isn't he, at the end of the season, Mina?
Well, I would say it's 90% that he's gone. I think that, they wouldn't let him go now, but I'm sure that he's not going to stay if he doesn't. No.
Now, what's interesting is then you take a look, well, who's going to come in and replace him? But it might be a manager who's willing to take over a side, who's in the Europa League. You know, Zinedine Zidane has been heavily linked, hasn't he, to move back to his former club. But would that be a prospect that he'd really want to face?
That is an interesting one. Would he really want to take on this Juventus side? Now, this is what's interesting, Juventus. Everyone has always said that this is a great management team, one that really works with the coach, one that really supports the coach, even apparently like Andrea Pirlo when they're doing very badly. So we just don't know whether management will stick around right now. We don't know the future of Pavel Nedved or Fabio Paratici, the sporting director. We don't know even if Andrea Agnelli will remain at the helm or whether Elkan, who is head of Exor, the family unit that runs Juventus, whether he will replace him because of what happened with the Super League. So it remains to be seen who it is that will be in charge of Juventus next season and the choices that they will make. But I think for Zidane, there is a romance attached to Juventus. I think at the end of the day, this is where he really learned a lot of his tactical play. He feels that he forged a certain level of identity there. And the way that he even manages Real Madrid is almost Italian to me. So I do think there's a part of him that will always, eventually at least, choose Juventus. Whether it's now or in the future remains to be seen.
Mina, thank you very much. As always, a lot more from Mina, Nikki and Matteo on the latest edition of Serie Awesome Podcast. That drops on Thursday. All the reaction, of course, to that huge game between Sassuolo and Juventus. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've got six MLS matches for you on Wednesday, followed by DC United against Chicago Fire. All those games available on ESPN Plus. Just a reminder, the latest edition of Football America is available to watch now here on Plus 7. Heard a lot of talk about, of course, from MLS and Liga MX this weekend. Meanwhile, Sporting are your champions in Portugal. A 1-0 victory over Boa Vista, enough to guarantee them the championship. Well, that's it. That brings to the end.
What was it from Seven Hurt? Columbus Crew are rebranding and it's a disaster. The world is going to end.
Don't get involved with that. People get very angry.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Well, if you want to know, I don't care.
Well, there we go. What a massive shock. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Craig with us here in the studio. Stevie Nicol joins us, as does Jan. Jan, when we were recording, you had one eye on your son's match. What was going on?
Well, it's fitting that in extra time here, they won in extra time.
Very good. And who won? What was the occasion?
Greenock Morton in the relegation zone in Championship Scotland.
Wow.
So it was not a very good game, but still very exciting.
Ah, and is that it? They survive now?
I hope so. That was the first hurdle.
Ah. Go on, Stevie.
This is shocking. Was it a very good game? Greenock Morton.
Have you been to Greenock, Jan?
I have.
Do you have a night out in Greenock?
But I got a couple of houses there, so no. David Hopkins was there as a manager. He brought my son in, and then he suddenly walked away, unfortunately, because they had a very good connection. But yes, I've been there two Christmases in Scotland last 2 years.
Hoppy.
Edinburgh.
Greenock is famous in Scotland. Dan?
Yes.
Greenock is famous in Scotland for getting bombed during the Second World War.
Oh, lovely. That's a nice bit of fact. Thanks for that.
That tells you all you need to know.
And how emotional are you watching him, Jan? More or less than Haaland?
I'm a terrible watcher. When I played football myself, I was never nervous. Every kick of the ball, I'm nervous. Unfortunately, kills me off.
Right, let's get on with some questions, shall we? Stevie, with Liverpool Europa League bound, is injuries the only thing that kept Liverpool back? Or is Klopp's tactics a big part of whatever that has happened this season?
No, I think it's pretty obvious that the injuries is what held them back. I don't think he's ever really changed his tactics that much. The problem is, when you spend, I think he spent, 5 years basically putting a culture together, putting a way of playing together, and then just from nowhere, somebody opens the hatch and everybody falls through. I mean, it's very difficult to then, A, try and do what you had been doing, and then try and go a different route and play a completely different way. So, no, I don't think tactics had anything to do with it.
Stevie, would you rather Liverpool play in the Europa League or not be in Europe at all? Do you think participating in the Europa League is needed to keep the star players happy for a season?
Honestly, I would prefer they didn't play in Europe.
Yep.
I'm sure the owners would disagree because that means they wouldn't have any additional money coming in. I mean, you only have to look at what the likes of Chelsea did under Conte when they went in European football. You know, they played week to week and they were up the top of the league from start to finish pretty much. So that's what I would like to see happen. Unfortunately, I think they're going to end up certainly one of those Europa League competitions, which is not good.
Trust me. You know the final line there?
It says players.
The star players are not happy that they're in the champ.
Mate Borisov.
Yeah. Those away trips for the Thursday night and then back to play probably on the Sunday against opposition that are in the Europa League for a reason. No. Sorry. It's not going to appease top players. They'll be knocking on the door saying, listen, I was about a rest.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what Klopp will do, ultimately. He'll probably play some sort of hybrid second string and try and keep his players fit for the Premier League.
Jan, where do you think Sancho will end up at the end of the summer or even
Man United.
Euros? Manchester United, Liverpool or someplace else? I want a prediction, please.
Yes, you will get a prediction. I talked a lot this week because we are preparing the Cup Final, the Pokal Finale on Thursday. And I talked to a lot of people in Dortmund. And the thing is that some around one club tried to spin that Manchester United not interested in the player, and they certainly are. Mm. But Liverpool is also on. Remember, Klopp's connection with Dortmund is very close. Klopp and the CEO Watzke, very close friends and all that kind of thing. But Liverpool have been told, they've been telling them that to finance him, because he will still be expensive, not as expensive last season when they said 120 million, it would be around 90-100. And we'll see, is there anybody who can pay that? And Liverpool have been telling them that they have to sell either Mane or Salah. So that is the deal. And I think it's something to do with the last question we were talking about Liverpool, because I think that Klopp 1 year ago wanted to fresh up the squad, freshen up the starting 11, and he couldn't. So I think that he will be desperate to get some new faces in now, and Sancho would fit the bill the way he plays football.
Stevie, just say money wasn't an object. It was literally, you could go to Manchester United, play in the Champions League, or go to Liverpool and play in the Europa League. Would that make a difference?
I think it depends on the reasons that you're going to a club. If you can look at Liverpool and say, right, well, European champions, Premier League champions, understand that the problem of ending up in the Europa League is just one of those things, the way the injuries happen, then I think you go to Liverpool. You know, Manchester United right now is still all about ifs and ands and maybes, and maybe then can they take another step? Well, you're going to a side in Liverpool, if it's between Liverpool and United, where you know that they've been there, done it, with the same players that you're going to join. And so, if that's what you're all about, if it's all about the trophies and the professionalism, then you go to Liverpool. If it's about the history, then depending on him growing up, he could be swayed by Manchester United, because Manchester United is a huge, huge club.
I think that a lot of these young players now at Dortmund, if that is Haaland or Sancho in this season or next season, they will see where is the chance to win trophies. Because these boys see Bayern Munich, they see Manchester City, they're winning trophies. So they will go where there is the biggest chance to win trophies. And that's what it's all about. I mean, the money would more or less be similar. The atmosphere and the history, as Steve was talking about, would be a bit about similar. So that depends which team you support. So I think trophies, a potential of winning trophies, which all of it worth.
Where would you go?
I go to Liverpool because, and I'll tell you why, a couple of reasons. One, they've already shown in the last 3 or 4 years that they can go toe-to-toe domestically and with the best in Europe when everybody's fit. And also their manager has a pedigree.
proven pedigree that is. So as one of the best in the business. And so therefore I would be more confident in a bounce back from Liverpool. And so I would go to Liverpool thinking that they will be making an assault on the Premier League again next year. I don't think the Europa League is any sort of carrot whatsoever. That's just a sideshow
right.
in terms of signing players. The caveat is, you come in here, how do you sell it to them? You sell it as Liverpool Football Club, look at these great players, Van Dijk will be back, Gomez will be back, all these guys will be back, Thiago might have settled in, blah, blah, and we are going to make another assault in the Premier League, and then next year, another assault in European football. Now, that might all be pie in the sky, as Jan said, if he's desperate to freshen it up, it depends on the money. But I do think there is a chance, a bigger chance at Liverpool that that may happen.
Stevie, what if you had to sell Mane or Salah to get Sancho?
That is a tough one. Listen, Mane's been... Last, 5 months, he's been really, really poor. I think Salah's been okay, but he's still managed to score goals. So if you're kind of looking at it that way, then you go with Mane.
You get rid of Mane.
If you've got a guy who's not his best and scoring goals against a guy who's not his best and isn't scoring goals, then
you can
I think
keep
it's,
them both.
I think
that's the other option, Stevie. You can keep them both and not have Sancho.
Listen, if it was going to put the club in financial problems, then I would just keep the two of them.
Right.
You know, listen, everybody's gone through a period where they haven't played well, every single one of us. It just so happens that the two of them, or the three of them, if you want to include Firmino, have been kind of doing it all at the same time. So I would have no hesitation in starting the Liverpool 11 that started this Premier League season. If they start next year fully fit, I'm confident Liverpool are going to be competing with City.
If I was Liverpool, and I had the money, and Sancho's a good player, he's played better this season as it's went on, but he's still got inconsistencies in his game. He's a young man, I think he's just 21 now. Mm-hmm. But if I had the money and I wanted to really come back with a bang, I'd go and sign... I'm presuming you're not going to get Erling Haaland, right? I'd go and sign Harry Kane if I could.
Right.
Stevie and I were talking about this the other day. In that Liverpool, and I know he's had his injuries, but even in a poor, even in an average Tottenham side, he still had another stellar season. So right. He's not, him and Heung-Min Son are a standout. But I'd go and sign him if I could, even though he's 27, 28, it's not finished, but it's not going to have much of a sell on, if any, in 4 years' time. But if you get 4 years out of Harry Kane, I think he's getting 30 goals a season in that Liverpool team. He's just a natural finisher. Natural finisher. Win you a game from nowhere, balls in the box. Everything that Roberto Firmino can't give you, he can give you other stuff. Link-up play, work rate, you know, clever flicks and movements, but he's never, ever, ever going to give you the goals tally like Kane has given them, like Fowler gave them, like Ian Rush gave them. And you know, you might play a certain way, that's fine. But it all boils down to one thing. That's good defending and taking your chances. And I don't think it will happen, don't get me wrong. I don't think they'll go after Kane, but I think he would be the difference, you know.
Craig, what area in the team would you recommend Manchester City and Pep to invest in, given that Diaz has improved the defence and they won so many matches without a striker this season?
I still think they'll go for a striker.
Harry Kane. He's at Liverpool now.
I don't know. I still think they'll go for a striker. You can't let Aguero go and have Jesus and nobody else. You can't. I wouldn't imagine he's going to play that way all the time. So I think he'll go for another striker.
Right.
Left back has been...
Yeah.
I mean,
Zinchenko's been all right.
Zinchenko's done okay. I think if they do spend, it'll be on a front man.
Can it be said that Cristiano's time at Juventus, Jan, has been a failure as they've performed worse in the Champions League and are at the moment playing for the Europa League?
Yeah, for God's sake, let's not even start with them taking a junior manager as a coach. Let's talk all about Cristiano Ronaldo, should we? I mean, imagine there was another manager with Pirlo's record this season. We will be after him. I mean, whole Italy will be after him. But fair enough. Cristiano Ronaldo went to Juventus because he thought that he would win trophies there, he would go for the Champions League this season. He still produces his goals, and we saw some reports today that if they don't get into Champions League and blah, 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 he will leave. But I think it's too easy to take it down to Cristiano Ronaldo. It's the same thing to say when he left Real Madrid, there were some pundits saying, well, Real Madrid will get better. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're getting better when you send 40 goals away. Okay, all the best. Auf Wiedersehen.
See, the problem is here is that when Ronaldo went to Juventus, he was probably promised all of these changes and things that were going to happen from Agnelli, from the ownership.
Yes.
The same people that told UEFA.
Yeah.
There's no Super League. Yes. Not, so I'll let you read into what you think. He probably went there off the back of, we're going to do this, that, and the next thing. And it's just been the complete opposite.
Could it, boys, Peter, that after this season, we'll see where it's ending in La Liga, that Zinedine Zidane will go to Juventus.
Which I discussed with Mina Rizuki today.
What has it been called in this show from others?
It's a transitional period.
It's a transition from trying to play a certain way to playing even worse.
Yes, to now playing the Europa League.
The transition has not worked.
It's been a
Liverpool Juventus.
It's a bit of an Arsenal transition with Mikel Arteta, isn't it? It's a kind of Pep's mate transition. Transition.
Yeah, that worked well. Arsenal in action tomorrow night. Chelsea. We'll be back then to reflect on that game. Plus Juventus, speaking of Pirlo, away against Sassuolo in that big match for the Champions League.